Christmas. Can you tell? Have you been to any parking lots outside of stores lately? The whole demise of the retail universe is, I think, overstated. If you haven't been to a mall lately, scary. But as we come to the last of the candles, the first one we talked about hope, the hope that we have in Christ. The second week we talked about peace, a peace that St. Paul is honest about with us with when he says it's something the world will never understand. The peace that God gives is beyond all human understanding because it is a peace that does not come from within, but comes from him into us and into the world. It's not something we can generate. It's a gift from God. And then last week we had Jubilate, but if we wouldn't have, we would have been talking about joy. We got to experience it, and we got to experience it in multiple different ways. But the third week is joy. That's the pink candle. And then this week is the last candle as we almost get to Christmas. Only a couple days. And we light this candle, and it's the candle of love. And it's a good reminder, as we heard, to remember that the celebration of Christmas is all about love. First, it's about God's love for us. That he so loved the world that he gave his only son to be born in that manger in Bethlehem, to take on human flesh and experience all the pain that from the fall of Adam and Eve, humankind has endured, right? Jesus experienced all that pain. The greatest example is the shortest verse in the Bible. He wept over his friend Lazarus. He experienced all of the pain that we experience. The sense of loss. The sense of injustice. He experienced these things. He experienced the short days and the long nights. Even affected the culture worse before the invention of the light bulb, right? He experienced all these things. He knows exactly what we go through. And that's the greatest example of love. The Old Testament, the Hebrew people called that chesed love. Try doing that without spitting. Chesed love. And that's what we hear in the Psalms and we hear in other places where it says, his love is steadfast and eternal. His love is not something based upon our emotions, but it acts upon us because God acts upon us. It isn't what we do that brings God's actions. It's God acting upon us because of his love for us. That's chesed love. In the New Testament, we use the Greek word because there were four Greek words that were used for love in the New Testament, right? Eros, we know, is the love that we seem to really highlight in Hollywood. The philia love is the brotherly love that, you know, a brother has for another brother. And then the other one is the family love. Love of family. Storge. And those three are in the New Testament, but the one that always describes God's love is agape love. The love that, poor St. Paul, he spends a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians trying to explain the remarkable, unspeakable, agape love of God. You notice that no matter how many words he uses, and he uses a lot of good words in 1 Corinthians 13. Wouldn't you agree? Does any better try or attempt to explain the father heart of God and the love that God has for us? I don't think there's any better way than how St. Paul tries to explain it in 1 Corinthians 13. He spends a lot of time with many words to try to explain it. But no matter how many words we as human beings try to put in an explanation of what it means to love, we will never fully understand the remarkable, unspeakable love of the Father for us. Because who would send his son into the world to endure the pain and suffering that we as human beings caused ourselves because of the fall? Who would send his son into the world knowing what would ultimately happen if he was going to be the sacrifice for us? What kind of selfless, sacrificial love does God have for us? That's why John 3:16, everybody always likes to put it up on posters and tell people, you know, at football games, John 3:16, for God so loved. But you ever really thought about what that means? God so loved that he purposefully planned everything out, knowing right from the time of the fall when he told Eve that one of her descendants would crush the serpent's head. Right from that time on, God purposefully designed everything so that when it was the right time, he would send his son into the world to live as a human being. I mean, does that not sound to you like a tremendous, amazing, sacrificial love? When you love somebody and yet you know that, and don't get me wrong, it's not only the Father who has the love, it's the Son, right? He was willing to be that sacrifice. Amen? He was willing to be that sacrifice. He was willing to do this. You know, we don't get a glimpse into the Trinity in that sense, but there had to be an interesting conversation somewhere along the line about what exactly this was going to mean. And the only thing that we know from this side of heaven is Jesus was willing to be the sacrifice. That's the truth. He was willing to be the sacrifice. And what Christmas for us, and what Advent for us, and some people say, well, why do you guys just celebrate Advent when you know that by the time you get to Christmas, the whole world's moved on? Christmas decorations are coming down. Christmas carols on the radio will be gone. Once we get to December 26th, which I grew up knowing as Boxing Day, once you get to Boxing Day, everything's gone. It's over. Take down the Christmas tree, move on. New Year's a coming. Right? And yet for us, it's just beginning. It's just starting. That's December 21st, folks. That's the first day of Christmas. And how many days of Christmas are there? 12. And why are we so countercultural? Why do we keep this? Why don't we just conform? I mean, the Reformed churches have. Why don't we just conform? You know, let's just celebrate Christmas ahead of time and let's just forget it. Why are you so stubborn? Well, because we're German. But anyways, why are you so stubborn? Because you're Lutheran. You know, why are you so stubborn? Why do you want to keep the 12 days of Christmas? Because it's worth spending 12 days thinking about the sacrifice and the love that is an example for us. Because Jesus keeps telling his disciples over and over again, if you love me, you will do what I have done. He tells us, and we use this always at veterans' funerals, we always use this text from John where he says, no greater love has man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. No greater love has man than this. Because what is it? It reflects the love of the Father. It reflects the love of God that God would have for us, that he would send his son into that manger, into that cow stall, into that place that we got this light up here. We're going to give out candles for people that are interested. We're going to give out little tea lights in mason jars to let people take it home. But it's a peace light we're going to give out at Christmas, and it comes right from the grotto in Bethlehem, which is the historic site of Jesus' birth, and it's eternal candle. It's kept on, just like the Greeks keep the Olympic candle burning. Well, the Christians in Bethlehem have kept this candle burning, and so scout troops go from Austria and pick up the candle and take it in a lantern, and they distribute it around the world. And we got ours from New York. And so we're twice removed, because then I got it from the person who came from New York. So isn't that cool? The scouts do this every year. It's a great thing because they remind us that we have a connection to the greatest love event of all time. Next to the cross, this is the greatest love event of all time, that Jesus would be born in that manger. And I want to just end today by asking you a question. Besides Jesus in the Christmas story, and besides Mary, because we're going to talk about her Christmas Eve, but Who is one of the greatest examples of love in the Christmas story? Besides Jesus and Mary, who is one of the greatest examples of love in the Christmas story? Joseph. Do you think that our understanding of Joseph is kind of weak? Pardon me? Yeah. We don't really think of Joseph in this whole story. But you know, I want to close today by thinking a little bit about what Joseph was willing to do, because I think that he reflects that chesed love, that agape love that we hear that we should reflect out to the world. Because here's a guy who's betrothed, okay? Betrothed, in our society, we don't really have a good example of this. But betrothed is like being married, but you haven't had the service yet. Betrothed is an agreement that often parents make for their son or daughter to be married, okay? And then it's up to the groom's father, when he has built his house, when he has got enough to provide for his wife, it's up to the groom's father to say, now go get her. And then they have the marriage ceremony. Then they're married. But it is a legally binding contract. It is an agreement that's made between the families, and the groom is working towards being ready for the time when his father will say, now it is the time for the marriage. So he works very hard. He has to, again, just think about this. Under normal circumstances, he would have to provide for a house. He would have to have his occupation in place so he could provide for a family. His father would have to be comfortable that he could provide for his wife and children. Then he would say, now it's time. And at this time in history, we know that Joseph was older than Mary because he would have been a carpenter. He would have been apprenticed as a carpenter and would have been ready to take care of his family. Just imagine working for something that you love and desire and want for a long period of time. And all you can do is work really, really hard. We see examples of this in the Old Testament, right? With Isaac working for his bride 7 years, only to get the sister. Then he works another 7 years to get the one he loves. You know, just imagine how he worked in those 7 years or those 14 years, how much he was willing to work for what he desired. Now, Joseph is working really hard to achieve what he desires, to have Mary as his wife. And all of a sudden, Mary tells him that she's with child. Think about that for a second. Yeah. Just think about all the work, all the training, all the patience, all the desires, all the hopes, all the stuff in this time waiting, in this betrothal time, for him to have Mary as his wife. And what happens? She's with child, and it ain't his. Not his. I love the way that Matthew puts it. Matthew actually doesn't spend a whole lot of time on this, but the way he puts it's really nice. He says he was a just man. He was a just man. How many of us would be just at that point? See, we kind of think, oh, well, you know, no big deal. Okay, he'll move on. He had poured blood, sweat, and tears into this. He had prayed. He had patiently waited. He had put a lot of energy, time, and love into this already. It's not just a short term, like, oh yeah, let's get engaged and let's fly to Las Vegas and get married, okay? This is not a 1, 2, 3 day event here. It's a long time. And so the Bible says he was a just man and a righteous man, and he was going to divorce her, which is the term you use because it's a legal binding contract. He was going to divorce her quietly, which is a nice thing to do. But because of the angel who comes to him and says, this is to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah said. This is the one who was promised. This is the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, whose name, Yeshua, means salvation. He is the Savior. You're going to call him Jesus the Savior, and he's going to come. He's going to be born. And this is not Mary sleeping with someone else. This is from the Holy Spirit. This is a gift. And I think at that point, that shows something of his love, both for God and for Mary. Because you know what? He just entered into a huge commitment, didn't he? You realize without Joseph, we wouldn't have the candle from Bethlehem, right? Why was Mary in Bethlehem? Because Joseph was from the family of David. And they had to go to Bethlehem for the census. Without Joseph, there's no guarantee that she would have made it to full term. Without Joseph, there's no guarantee that Jesus would have had a family. There is no guarantees about anything. Without Joseph, they wouldn't have got to Bethlehem. They wouldn't have had a place in Bethlehem. And then they wouldn't have escaped to Egypt and avoided Herod. We don't hear much about Joseph, do we? Yet to me, he's a great example of agape love, sacrificial love, because he was willing to say, I'm in. I'm in. He married her, didn't have relations with her till the child was born. We know from history that he actually fathered other children with Mary, right? James and Jude are in the Bible. Many others. As a matter of fact, when he went back to Nazareth, when his family came to see him, the people said, "Your family's outside. Your brother," and they looked at him and said, "Is this not Jesus? Don't we not know his brothers and sisters?" I mean, they had other children, but what Joseph gave in love is a great example for us, isn't it? It's a great example for us. Because we got this idea in our narcissistic, self-centered society that love is about emotions. Oh, I love. Love. Oh, wonderful. Puppy love. Oh, so cute. We got this idea of love. And it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting down people are in love. I think it's wonderful. It's cute. Great. But that's not what this is. Chesed love isn't based on emotions. Neither is agape love. It's based on selflessness and sacrifice. It's based upon putting the other person before yourself. That's the love we celebrate at Christmas. The love of a father who would send his son into the world to die for us. And that's the love that Jesus encourages us over and over. He actually commands us to love God and love one another, right? And it's not a love where we expect to receive something back. It's a selfless, sacrificial love where we're willing to give even when we may not receive anything back. It's the love that Joseph showed when he was willing to take on this huge task. Take a pregnant woman from Nazareth in Galilee down to Bethlehem. Not a simple task. Take her to Egypt and his son. Move him back up to Nazareth. Take care of them. Provide for them. Take this child and call him your own, even though you know he's not your own. Selfless love. Chesed love. Agape love. Brothers and sisters, that's what we celebrate today, and that's what Christmas is all about. May we not only receive that love, which is a gift, and may we share this love now and always. Amen.